Story of Achan. We're going to be studying the story of Ananias and Sapphira. If you know the Bible, you know that there is a little bit of commonality there. So as we go through it, I think you'll see that tie. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Bible says in Joshua chapter 7, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully. Say unfaithfully, would you? The Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. How many of you know that is not a good thing? That you do not want the Lord's anger burning against you. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua. They said, not all the people will go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan, deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by the enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Verse 13, go, consecrate the people, tell them to consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. Joshua has all the Israelites come. They choose by tribe, they choose by clan, they choose by family, and it is Achan. Who has taken some gold, has taken some silver, has taken some of the stuff, destroyed Jericho. And that man and his family and all of his stuff and all of his animals are taken outside of the camp. He is stoned and they are burned. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we come to challenging sections of your scripture, Lord. Let us not explain them away. Let us try to understand and hope to understand, Lord, that you are mighty and awesome, that you are a saving God, and Lord, that you are just, and that you do judge. Let us come into your shadow, Lord, and learn fear. Respect and honor. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
2003, I was living here, been here for about 3 years. Perhaps some of you remember the Cedar Fire. Anybody remember the Cedar? We had so many fires, you know. They come up with different names. Killed 15 people. Caused hundreds of millions of dollars in damages and lost revenue, in economic distress. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know if you realize that or remember, but this fire was started by Sergio Martinez, a man from out of town, a novice hunter, who got separated from his buddies, was lost, and started a signal fire. Fire because of the dryness of the area, the wind quickly grew out of control. Thousands of acres, hundreds of millions of dollars, and 15 lives lost because he started a signal fire and it got out of control. You don't want to play with fire, folks, because you can get burned. Amen? We are studying a series called Life on Fire, and we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 5 today, and we talk about a life on fire, and some people don't want to burn, like to play, like to be on the edge, don't want to make the commitment, don't want to be fully committed to God, and make the changes like Roki talked about. So you need to go apologize to that guy. He was in the wrong. He was in the wrong, but you responded in the wrong. And now I'm asking you to be a bigger man, to release this load. He says, I'm asking you to burn, Roki. I'm asking you to burn some of your past so that you can burn into your future so that you can have a life of fire. That is what the apostles had. That is what we are studying. Look back at Acts chapter 3 2 weeks ago and the healing of a cripple, a man who had been crippled since birth and he was 40 years old, and the transformation that comes from that. Take a look at Acts chapter 5 and all kinds of healing going on. Everybody who was brought gets healed. Acts chapter 4, we see that there is indeed some barriers that come as these apostles are living lives of fire, and as that fire is spreading to other disciples and other people that are coming to the knowledge of Christ. We see 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. We see that number grow to 5,000 after the healing of the cripple. And things are getting out of control, and Peter and John are arrested and told, stop your preaching. That's when we saw that sometimes when if you're going to live a life of fire, you have to press in, press on, and press through and find your victory on the other side. Amen? Amen? I trust that many of you had challenges this week. And you either turned aside or you pressed through and found victory. Here a little bit of Roki, little victory in Roki's talk. I'll tell you what, he came into my office. Who's taking offering today? Pastor Paul's out of town. They're in Texas. I said, Aaron's opening guy. He said, I guess you're taking offering. He said, okay. Got a little something to share. Amen? Amen. Lives of fire. Question for you this morning. Are you ready to burn? Are you ready to live a life of fire? Are you ready for that commitment? The new church was indeed on fire. Pastor Scott referenced that. Acts chapter 29 verses, Acts chapter 4 verses 29 to 32 says, now Lord, and when they were told not to preach, the Peter and John went back to the house where the believers were staying. Said, man, it's going to be tough. And they said, now Lord, consider their threats, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, we don't want to cool off. Lord, we want to be on fire. We want to burn. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Shaken by the power of God, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and all spoke the word of God boldly. And then it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. People on fire. People ready to burn. Come into this place. You can burn or you can get burned. Title of today's message is, Time to Burn. Amen? All right, we're going to jump ahead to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to read to you about Ananias and Sapphira, and there are people who would try to milk this down. Soften this text. And it is a harsh text. Bible says, Acts 5. Now a man named Ananias, Barnabas, it says in the end of, as it says, everybody shared all their stuff, that there was a man called Barnabas, who means son of encouragement. You know, you got some encouraging guys around here. Aaron is an encourager. I find Tommy to be an encourager. Just always an encourager, right? And in addition to that, he sold a field and he brought all the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. That was not an uncommon task. So Ananias and his wife Sapphira are aware of this. And he says they sold a piece of property, and with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. And you say, what's the problem? There is no problem. Until he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? He's saying, man, you'd have to bring us all the money. We're happy if you just bring an offering. You need to bring a tithe of the increase of the gain that you got, but you're under no obligation beyond that. But when you come in here and you tell us, here's all the money, we're not stupid. And you're not just lying to us. He says, after it sold, wasn't the money that you're supposed to? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to us, but you have lied to God. And he says, what are you doing, Ananias? You're lying to the Lord. Folks, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Generous act, not uncommon. I mentioned Acts 2:45. They sold their possessions and good. They gave to anyone as he had need. Just read that again at the end of chapter 4. That was going on. That was part of what the early church did. And it's a great thing, too, because in Acts chapter 8, there was a great persecution, and all that property would have been taken anyway. It's as if the Lord did this move of generosity for property that would have been stolen from them anyway. Are you tracking with me?
Amen.
All right, let's just roll on. Ananias and Sapphira lied about their contribution. It says right here, Ananias did it with the full knowledge of his wife. Why did they do it? Well, the location of the text at the end of Acts chapter 4, as they talk about Barnabas, the motivation realistically can only be jealousy. They were jealous of Barnabas. And as they move in that jealousy, they find themselves lying to God. Continue on. Verses 5 through 7. We talk about there is a penalty. Now, and I think you might be able to say that this is a rather stiff penalty. Let me tell you the story if you haven't heard it. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Glad nobody died in church today. Amen? He fell down and died, and great fear. Would you say fear?
Fear.
Greek word for that is phobos. Guess what phobos means? Fear. There you go. Yeah, that's what it means. Great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. We're just taking care of this right now. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Ananias falls down dead. His wife comes in 3 hours later. They said, did you give us all the money? She said, yeah. Boom, she falls down dead too. Peter says, you know what? Ananias said the same thing. You're lying to God. He fell down dead. Boom, she's dead too. There are those that would say that Ananias had something like a heart attack when he realized that he was in sin. Now, I dare say that if Roki was standing up here during the offering, and all of a sudden, talking about everything that was going on, he fell down, had a heart attack, and died, I don't know what kind of fear of God that would generate in this place. Right? I don't know, we'd have the young guys take him outside and bury him in the field, but, you know, but something happened. Something happened when Ananias fell down dead, that there was fear, not just fear, but great fear that was generated from everybody who heard about it. Now that leads me to think it was a little bit more than just a heart attack going on. And oh my, his wife must have been eating the same cholesterol-filled food because she had a heart attack too. Little too much of a coincidence for me. Can I get a witness on that? Now, if we're talking about God killing these people, who else going to kill them? Some people say, well, it's Peter, first pope. Bam! You know, he was saving and he was killing. Some people just try and milk it down. Not really anything supernatural going on here. Play with fire, you get burned, folks. We want to say this is a mistake. We serve a kind and loving God, full of mercy and grace. And realistically, he's kind of a punk God, because he doesn't do anything bad. No teeth. Realistically, there's no penalties in church, only blessings. I'm coming to church to try some of George's beans and to get some barbecue later on. And I'm telling you, you come in here and you're playing with fire, you get burned. It's not a plaything that's going on here. There was great fear from all who heard. And I'm wondering today if you have a great fear of God. And realistically, if you didn't come in here with fear, I doubt you have amassed any great reverence for God as I have read this text to you. Came in here fearless, you probably still are. Because realistically, we really do serve a weak God, a dumb God. Why? Because we lie to him all the time and he doesn't do anything. I get away with it all the time. There are no penalties in church. There was a guy who came yesterday, Friday, and played on our team. I had seen him maybe within the last year. And he had come to church maybe once or twice. And this guy had a spark in his eye. Really, he did. There was opportunity. It was there. God had a work that he would have done in this guy's life. And he showed up looking all sucked up on Friday like he had lost 20, 30 pounds. He was loaded. You could tell he was just not right. His coordination was not right. And he was laughing and he was just kind of getting along, trying to get along. But he wore his penalty in his life. We think God is weak because he strikes people dead. But he will turn you over to your sin and you will reap the penalty of your own sin in your own life. Amen? Did you hear the penalty in Roki's life? He said, I was a bad guy. It wasn't my wife, it was me. And so many of us can wear that testimony this morning that I had my penalty all over me. See, you play with fire, you will get burned. Amen? And especially if you are playing in the church. Because you ain't never going to get saved if you're playing in the church. So you can burn or you can get burned. But don't play with fire. Amen? All right. The apostles are on fire. The apostles are rocking and rolling for the Lord. Chapter 5, reading on. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. All the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. There was fire in the temple, and the apostles were bringing it. Now, Solomon's colonnade. Let me show you a picture. This is a picture of a model of the temple. You have the temple in the center, and you've got the temple grounds around it, and they would have animals and all kinds of stuff going on in there. That's where Jesus chased them out with the whip. because he had all the animals going on inside. And you'll see on the upper right is Solomon's porch, also called Solomon's colonnade. And all those patios or porches would be filled with all kinds of offerings and all kinds of stuff going on. And people would preach in the various heresies. You would have Pharisees that were up there preaching. You have zealots that were up there preaching and talking about why their version of Judaism or the Jewish religion was preferable. All right? And so the Christians or the Messianic Jews, they really didn't even have a name for them yet, they would preach in Solomon's porch. And people are coming in, and people are getting healed, and people are getting saved, and people are being transformed. And there is the fire of God. There is the power of the Holy Spirit that's being manifested right there in Solomon's porch, and nobody else came around them. And they're talking about the other guys that were teaching, because you would have all kinds of guys in there. You know, like kind of like people begging, you know, or guys playing guitar in the park, trying to get some money, you know, and you got this guy over here and this guy over here, and they'd all be doing that. But they stayed away from the apostles. Because, man, when you are dealing with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you are dealing with the fire of God, and he's, you got dead Ananias and you got dead Sapphira, it's like, man, we just head over to the other side and leave these guys alone. Amen? Amen? Don't mess around with fire. You'll get burned. And they realized that. All right. So we have got something supernatural going on, a whole lot of healing going on. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord, and they were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them. Say all.
All.
You know what all means? All means all. All of them. Nobody went home sick, and nobody went home still possessed by evil spirits. Can you imagine what a wacko crowd that was? Demon-possessed people coming in, crazies, and walking out as straight as you and me. Amen? Life-transforming power. Apostles are on fire. Fire burning in them. They are fully committed to Christ. They are holding nothing back. And the message is spreading. Do you want to burn? You want the fire? If you want the fire, you've got to be willing to burn. And so many people, they don't want to burn. Talk about the spread of the gospel. And it talks about the towns around Jerusalem. And I've tried to, I don't know if you can see this map, but below Jerusalem is Bethlehem. We've all heard of Bethlehem, you know, Christmas time. Bethlehem is about 5 miles from Jerusalem. La Mesa is about 5 miles from here. And then you've got Gibeon, Ramah, Beth Horon. All these places are very close. And people would hear, I'll tell you what, man, you were born crippled. There was no healing. There was no doctors. There was nothing going to heal you except these disciples. Amen? So the word started going out, and people started getting healed. People started getting saved, and life started being transformed. What was going on? Jesus said, Acts chapter 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was already on fire with what? The message of Christ. Amen? And then into Judea. Judea is what? The area around Jerusalem. And so we see the power of God spreading from Jerusalem as its center point and going where? Into Judea. And we will see next week, I believe next week, in the next couple of weeks, how it moves into Samaria and then beyond to transform the whole world. It's like Jesus had a plan. Amen? You want to be on fire, you got to be ready to burn. And don't come in here to play. I have seen people come in here to play. It's a scary thing. You're here, you haven't been here that long, really coming in here for a burger. Okay. Don't let it stay like that. Why? Ananias and Sapphira were playing in the church, lying. They got killed. Now, I got a text for you. It is an incredibly challenging text. If you've only been here a couple times, I'm sorry. This is a pretty much uphill sermon today, but we just kind of go through the word. We hit what we hit. This is not directed at anybody here. This is just from the Holy Ghost. If it is hitting you, you are so lucky, because that means God's not done with you yet. Amen? It is impossible. Say impossible. Impossible is a challenging word. It's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared, this is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, you come in here at worship time, I'll tell you what, Holy Ghost was in here this morning at worship time, amen? Amen. You come in here and you experience that, and you begin to ask the Lord to come into your heart, to transform you, and there's this thing, more steps are taken. And they have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. You come to this Word and it just is lit up, explodes into your mind. Those who have tasted the goodness of the Word and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away. See, because you can have all that and you can say, you know what, I'd rather go watch the Chargers. You know what, I'd rather have a couple of six packs. You know what, I was just playing at church. Says if you're playing at church, if they fall away, it is impossible to be brought back to repentance. There is a scarring that will happen in your soul if you come here to play. You want to come here to burn, the Lord will light you up. And you will move through life. And you might have challenges, as Roki said, I was a great runner. You know, I thought he was talking, oh, man, I don't remember you running that much. Oh, running away from God. Okay, yeah, now I remember. He was a great runner. But he don't look like a runner anymore. Amen? See, you come in here to burn, the Lord will light you up and he will be transformed. You come in here to play, it will be impossible for you to be brought back to repentance because you play with the blood of Christ. That is why Pastor Scott said, you take this cup in an unworthy manner, you will drink. You can drink. People have drunk sickness and death upon themselves. Why? Because you're playing with the blood of Christ. He says, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. And you say, you know what, Jesus, I don't really care what you got going on. You got no power in my life. I'm wiping my feet on you. And you do that to the Lord, you cannot be brought back to complete repentance. You are scarred. I don't know how scarred, but it will have an impact. If I ever did that to my wife, it would scar our relationship. Is it beyond recovery? Depends on how bad the scarring is. You get scarred. Jesus is already scarred. You play with fire, folks. You will get burned. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to burn. I had spent 29 years of my life looking for fulfillment, looking for advancement, looking for completion in my life. I got the opportunity, gave my life to the Lord. Got the opportunity to go to Mexico. Work in an orphanage, said, Lord, I want to burn. I want to know you. Got the opportunity before that, go to Bible college. Lord, I'll leave it all. I want to burn. Got the opportunity to go to downtown Sacramento, work in the hood. Lord, I want to burn for you. Before all that, got a chance to lead a home Bible study. Lord, I want to burn for you. Got a chance to teach a class. Lord, I want to burn for you. You want to play or do you want to burn? Because if you're playing with fire, you'll get burned, but you won't burn. Does that make sense? All right. We okay? See, some people running from the building. Huh? Then the high priest, Acts chapter 5, 17 through 20. God tends the fire. The apostles are lit. They are burning, and God is paying attention. My eyes are upon the righteous. My ears are attentive to their prayer. All right? The high priest and all of his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Same thing, I think, that was going on in Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? Outside the church, though. They were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Now, I'll tell you what. If you got arrested and an angel of God busted you out and told you to go preach, would you go preach?
Amen.
Whew, I'd be preaching hard. Apostles get out of jail. There are those who would say, oh, one of the jailers was just saved. I don't think so. I mean, and maybe, but I'll tell you what, everybody getting healed, all the demons being cast out, I don't think it's too tough for God to send an angel to bust these guys out of jail. Amen? It happens. Acts chapter 12, verse 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong verse. Getting ahead of myself. This does not happen all the time, though. It didn't happen with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod. So, if you get in trouble, there are other verses. You can be praying Acts chapter 5, but you might get Acts chapter 12. Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. God's paying attention, but God might choose to take you home to be with him. Amen? That is the culmination of a life that's on fire. That well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Angel says, go preach, gentlemen, go preach. And they go outside and they're preaching again. They are arrested for preaching in the temple. They get busted out of jail and they go back and they preach in the temple. And you know what? The high priest is mad. Verse 33. Let's skip a couple verses here. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put him to death. They said, hey, man, you know what? You crucified Jesus. God brought him back from the dead. You guys are so wrong. We got to follow God. We're not following you. And they're going, we're just going to kill these guys. They could have. They could have killed him. They crucified Christ. They had the power. They were furious. They wanted to put him to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, famous guy, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin, ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. And then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody. And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all of his father's followers were dispersed. And it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census, led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Jerusalem's on fire. We told you to stop. You're making us out to be the bad guys. You're saying we're guilty of this man's blood. Notice that God does not just strike the high priest dead. Would it be so much nicer if he did? why not let Ananias and Sapphira live and kill the high priest? I like that part better. Would be a whole lot less dangerous. But when you are in the midst of the challenge, God did not miraculously levitate Roki's tent or the other guy's tent and separate them and said, Roki, watch me. Take care of all your problems. That's not the way God rolls. Why? He didn't roll that way. He said, you guys go out there and preach. You guys go out there and stand. You guys burn for me. And I'll make sure you stay lit. So you go into challenges, and the Lord will be right there with you. Now, it's different here. When lies and deception begin to erode the church, he steps in because this church is to be the light. But when we go outside, you are the light, and he makes sure you stay lit. The question is, do you want to burn? Because so many want to just play with fire. And don't really want to burn. Don't want to be invested. Don't want to be transformed. Don't want to be an agent of change. So who are you? Do you want to burn? Or are you ready to be transformed? Are you ready to be an agent of transformation? Leanne, you want to come up and sing? Some of you are so on fire for the Lord. I'm encouraged to hear Roki's testimony. I'm encouraged to hear many testimonies around here. I'm encouraged to see Laura struggling through her class on 1 Kings with Jezebel and Elijah. What is up with all this stuff? Down there teaching right now. Do you want to burn or do you want to play? Lord, I come before you this morning. Lord, I thank you for fire. I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the testimony I see in my daughter. Mike, would you get this board right for me, please? Oh, I didn't see JJ back there. Just work it out. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that happen all over this place. Lord, I thank you for the apostles that show us the way that we can go. I thank you, Lord, that you are not a weak God. Lord, that there is a judgment day that's coming. And we can burn now for you or we can burn later in fires that are prepared for someone else. Lord, I choose to burn now. And Lord, I thank you that your eyes are upon this church and that your eyes are upon the people in this church and that your eyes, ears are attentive to our prayer. I pray for each person here, Lord. I pray for that person who has come to play. Lord, I pray your message would go out. I pray that there would be a transformation right now. As Roki ran, let these people run no more. Yet turn and burn for you. Let the past be burned up and a future just burn brightly before us. We would see opportunities surrounding us, all the folks from the outreach. Lord, let us be your agents. Let us be on fire for you and see lives transform. You're here this morning. And that girl ran out, you felt like running out too. And I don't know what's going on with that girl, Lord. I just pray you just bless that girl. Time to stop playing. The Lord is saying right now, time to stop playing. Time for you to get a vision that's bigger than you. Time for you to be able to surrender your past and your life and your future and put a focus on me. And I'll put a focus on you, and I'll light you up, and you can burn for me. Nobody looking around. And you want to play anymore. You're already burning, you want to burn brighter, that's fine. But I'm talking about people that were coming in playing. You don't want to play anymore. God is speaking right to you. You are quite frankly hoping I don't call your name right now. I have felt that way. I have felt that way. Don't call me by name, Pastor. I'm hearing. You're done. Saying, Lord, I'm done playing. I'm ready to burn. Nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up. Slide your hand up. Say, that's me this morning. Back here. Somebody else say, that's me. There, there. There, yeah. Anybody else say, that's me. I'm done playing. Back there, oh yeah. Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing a couple of songs. You don't want to play anymore, I'd just like to have you come up here and kneel and just pray. I want to pray with you. Some people come up here and pray with you. But let's all stand. We're going to sing and say, Lord, this is you saying, Lord, I'm ready to burn for you. I want my life to be a shining example, Lord. I don't want to play anymore. I want to be committed, totally committed to you. Hallelujah. Amen.